warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting in here with my bud, David Niles.
Yo.
And it's so good to be number 20, episode 20.
That's right, this is number 20.
Yes, and you know, for a episode 20, we're going to promote life. What better way to do it?
It's a great idea.
So let's promote life this episode, Dave.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I agree. I'm in. Okay. I'm on board.
Okay, good. If you would have said no,
it was a tough sell.
That would have made it awkward.
Yeah, I'm just not feeling it today.
No, I don't really want to do that.
Not feeling very lively.
Yeah, that could have been awkward. But he didn't, so that's good. Welcome to anybody who's listening for the first time, whether they caught us on podcast, St. Michael Catholic Radio, Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting, Breadbox Media, caught our social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. No, I always say YouTube. It's just like a sign.
Not yet.
It's a sign. Because that's what... Yeah, because Dave...
We were just talking about doing it.
We're going to get a YouTube channel going.
Man, talk about manliness. Once we start putting, like, our faces on media, dang.
I mean, we have the faces for radio right now.
Word.
But we have the face. If we get faces for YouTube channel, that's big time.
Big time.
Big time, big time. So if this is your first time to tune in,
watch out.
You already got exposed to the warning. This is a new warning that we have every episode, which I am still in love with.
It's very manly because of the manliness.
Because of the manliness.
That's right.
But the three things that we do on the Catholic Man Show, we have a man beverage, we have a man gear, and we have a manly topic because we're two manly dudes.
That's right.
And so that's what we do.
Everything you're saying, I am just agreeing with.
So, that's really good. Again, because if you would have disagreed, it would have been very awkward.
At least there's... I know for sure there's at least one manly dude here.
Yes. At least one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me. Because I'm older.
Does that make you more manly?
Yes, it does. It does. So, Dave, tell them about the Glencairn glass. The Catholic Man Show Glencairn Glass.
The Catholic Man Show Glencairn Glass?
The... Well, when I said the Glencairn Glass, I just assumed people understood. Maybe it's a better idea to elaborate. When I say that, I mean the Catholic Man Show Glencairn Glass.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
So, a few of you listening probably have one of these already in your house because we sent them to you. If you are a friend of the show, if you are a friend of the show, we sent them to you. If you become a friend of the show, we will send them to you. If you don't know what the Glencairn glass is, then I recommend you go back and listen to every single episode of the Catholic Man Show. We did cover the Glencairn glass as a man gear in one of the episodes, somewhere between 1 and episode 19. Well, it's also between 99.
Yes.
But anyway, more specifically, 1 and 19. So we had our own Glencairn glasses made. Branded with the Catholic Man Show logo, laser etched.
Oh,
yeah, because lasers are manly.
Yes.
Onto the glass. And you know what I love about them?
Tell me.
Dishwasher safe.
Yes. And scratch resistant.
Yeah, scratch, because this isn't like a stencil.
No.
They laser etched it. It doesn't come off.
And I got to be honest, I kind of was hesitant to believe that when they told me.
So I tried to scratch mine.
Yeah, I did
tried
too.
To scratch it off.
I did too.
You know what? Didn't work.
Didn't work out.
No.
I was afraid it was going to break the glass, so I stopped. So
that's what they are. You asked me what they are. That's what they are.
Okay, so what's a friend of the show?
A friend of the show is a listener who exudes certain manly tendencies, who...
Or attracted to certain manly tendencies?
Sure, yeah. Who appreciates manly tendencies.
Yes.
Appreciates and or exudes them.
Mm-hmm.
Who also, incidentally, has gone to breadboxmedia.com,
mm-hmm.
clicked on the Friends of the Show link, searched for The Catholic Man Show,
yes,
and signed up to donate $10 a month.
Yes.
To support the manliness...
Of this show.
Of the show.
Which is a very low amount to support such high levels of manliness.
That's what people say.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I promote.
Yeah.
So, if you'd like one, check out our Instagram page. We have pictures of them on our Instagram page.
And yeah, check them out because they really are very cool.
They're super cool. And we'll send you one. In fact, Dave...
Got axes on the front.
I sent out, I think, over 30 glasses this last week.
How many do we have?
I think we bought 65 to start.
Sweet.
So...
They're going fast.
They're going fast. I would love to re-up.
Yeah, we will do it.
Yeah, I would love to re-up.
But it's more manly to get the first batch. First edition.
Absolutely. In fact, our friend Angela Doyle,
mm-hmm.
I ran into her at the Oklahoma State football game. And
yeah, yeah.
She, on the spot, boom, donated. On the spot. And I sent her two glasses.
Cold hard cash?
Cold hard cash.
Wow.
So, and she's a Catholic out of Edmond.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, shout out to Angela Doyle. And there's like so many...
That woman can bake.
Yeah, oh man, she can bake. Yes. She was... Yeah.
Enough said.
Nothing but cakes.
Yeah.
That's what she used to do.
She put them on the map.
Yeah. Because of her amazing baking skills.
Yeah.
So, shout out to you, Angela. We love you.
With all our hearts.
Okay, so Dave, let's bust into the drink. The man drink.
This is
the
an
man
awesome
beverage.
One.
Because it's, yeah.
We're covering another Glenmorangie this week.
Yes. Scotch.
It's a Scotch. We did the 12-year
mm-hmm.
already.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a 12-year, except this is their La Santa, which means that it's finished in a sherry cask.
Mm.
I'll just read you what the back of this says.
Which, do you know what sherry is?
Yeah, it's a type of wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like fortified wine.
I just like to say fortified wine.
Yeah, things... Fortified sounds manly.
Yes,
right?
Definitely.
Really, I don't know what a fortified wine is, but I know that's what sherry is.
Yes, it is. You're correct.
So this, the back of this says, the La Santa, true to its Gaelic meaning of warmth and passion, is rich and full-bodied after two extra years of maturation in Spanish, Oloroso, and PX sherry casks.
Oloroso. Mm. I like that.
Thank you.
I thought you nailed that.
The Oloroso?
Yes, I thought you nailed it.
Somebody's going to write in and tell us, like, that's not
how you say
it.
That's not even how you say it. Yeah.
Idiot.
Okay.
You nailed it. Whatever.
So
let's do it.
Yeah, so pour me a little dram in our Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses.
It would be my pleasure.
So we promote moderation on this show because secular society today does not promote moderation whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
They're all about extremes, one side or the other. And here, we promote moderation and we drink on the show and promote a man beverage because the Lord made it and it is good.
And, it is so good.
And we, the best way to appreciate it is in moderation.
So, cheers to Jesus, my friend.
Cheers to Jesus. We're on the Lord's team.
Did you hear that? That was such a good sound.
That was a great sound.
You need
sound.
The Catholic Man Show glasses. Let's do it again.
Yeah. The first one was better. Yeah.
I like it still.
So tell me what your thoughts are. While you're thinking, let me just infuse you with some of the tasting notes.
Okay.
So that way it changes what you're even thinking right now, because
mm-hmm.
that's what happens, right? It's
sure.
kind of a deal where I tell you something and it's like, oh yeah, that
yeah.
does sound
power
like that.
Power suggestion.
Yeah. So the nose is a creamy and of caramel and chocolate raisins.
Chocolate raisins, huh?
I don't.
Now, do they mean chocolate covered raisins or like chocolate infused? What is a chocolate raisin?
I'm assuming chocolate covered raisins.
There must be.
Yeah. Quite dry with notes of sweet, with mixed sweet spices.
I don't get the
on the nose.
I'm not getting the chocolate raisins on the nose.
I'm not either.
But I, you know, hey.
But I got to be honest, I rarely get chocolate anyway on the nose of any scotch.
I do.
What scotch?
I don't know. Okay. I just know that
You have?
I have, yeah.
Okay. Okay. The mouth feel is very thick as you chew through the honey-eyed raisins.
And wet. I get a wet sensation in my mouth when I sip it.
That's typically what happens. There's a little sweet beeswax.
You don't say.
Melted vanilla ice cream as a sherry weaves gently through the palate.
That's what I was going to say. Not frozen ice cream, but melted vanilla ice cream.
Slightly melted.
Slightly melted. Yes. Yeah, because it's just not... Regular, it's definitely melted.
Yeah,
that's
the
flavor
of
I'm getting.
Completely melted or frozen is just...
It's a moderation. It's moderately melted.
It's absurd is what it is.
You know, it's once again an example of moderation.
That's right. That's right. And then much more honey on a creamy finish, and it is a slight oaky dryness and dusking of cocoa powder.
A dusking of cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You gotta love tasting notes.
Oh, I love tasting notes. They're hilarious.
I do get a little bit of the oakiness.
I get a little bit of the. It's a very smooth whiskey, and I do get the sweetness. Mm-hmm. There's a sweetness to it.
Yeah, it's more complex. You know, this wouldn't be the first whiskey I'd drink.
No, because you couldn't enjoy it.
You wouldn't enjoy it. Yeah. Right. You wouldn't appreciate it.
Right. So when we get back, we'll go through the man topic, the man gear.
Man gear.
Sorry, man gear.
Jumping the gun.
All right. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Ready to manhood.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Did that wear you out?
That wore me out.
I could tell.
Yes, I was like fist pumping through the whole process. And I'm a little winded.
It felt good. Just to do it, you know?
I'm sure that was very obnoxious for listening.
A man needs to exert himself every now and then.
Fair enough. I'm not gonna stop it.
And let's get ready to manhood.
Yeah, I'm already ready. I've been ready.
Well, I'm doing it. You might be ready. I'm doing it.
I was ready when I woke up.
One up.
When I'm conscious, I'm ready.
Well, I'm ready even when I'm not conscious.
In your dreams?
Yeah. Dude, I have the manliest dreams. You wouldn't even believe it.
You're right. With you being a narcoleptic, I would not believe it.
Dude, the other day, I had a dream that... our buddy Juan, that his wife was pregnant. And so I told him, and he was like, kind of had his, like, oh, you know, like
his typical
Juan response.
Right.
So you, since you probably don't know Juan, that is lost on you, but it's really funny. Just trust me.
Oh man.
So man gear?
Man gear. Let's jump into it.
Do you think 1 week the man beverage could be the man gear?
Oh, man.
Did that blow your mind?
That did blow my mind.
I just carry a bottle of whiskey around with me. Just in case I need it. You gotta be prepared.
Oh, yeah, that could be sweet. Other than we'd have to really come up with a lot of things to talk about the drink.
All the other guys would be like, dang it, why didn't I think about that?
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot now.
So what's the man gear?
Man gear is a tent.
Which that's what it is.
Yeah.
The tent.
You asked me, and I told you.
I agree. And luckily, I agree. That would have made it super awkward if I had said, nope,
okay,
that's not what it is.
So, guys, right before we started this segment, Adam looks at me and he says, so did you do any research on the tent? And I looked at him and I said, have you ever been in a tent before? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to research about a tent. They're pretty much straightforward.
They are pretty much straightforward. However.
And so he says, Well, I looked into the history of the tent.
Origins, yeah, and history of the tent.
Pretty illustrious.
So, apparently, Genesis 4 is one of the earliest records that we have, written records of tents. But it's not like, in the Bible it says, the man built the tent, for the first time.
Right, it's not like people are...
It was assumed that men were, the family was using a tent.
People aren't going crazy like, did you see that? He built... What is that?
Right.
I call it a tent.
Right, exactly. No, that's not what it was. It was like, it was assumed, like, the word Catholic was assumed, like, when it was first used by, Irenaeus?
Yeah.
Ignatius or Irenaeus?
He wrote it down.
Yeah, he wrote it down, but it was assumed, that's been used for quite a while because he didn't even have to explain it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so Adam's there, he's naming the animals, and he's like, all right, cow, chicken, tent.
Tent.
That's my his house.
Yeah, yeah. And what's really cool about the tent, obviously when it first was established, it was the home. And the reason why is because as a man, you're a hunter because you had to provide food for your family.
Yeah.
And so you provided shelter, but as the food moved, the herd...
The food was a lot trickier back then.
Right. Yes. It's not like you get to go to McDonald's.
Right. Right?
Which I don't advise going to anyway. But, as the food moved, you needed to move with it to stay alive. So the whole purpose of, the tent was to provide shelter, but to also be able to pack up, break down, and build back up as a hunter and gatherer.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Totally, yeah.
Not that, I had to read that to understand, just the idea of what the tent is, I could have...
It used to be different.
Right.
I feel like the tent... As manly as it is now, used to be even more manly.
Absolutely. But I could have pieced those puzzle pieces together without having to read that. I think it almost inherently I knew what the tent was for.
Just like it.
But when I read it, I was like,
knowledge was exuding
yes.
from your manliness.
Mm-hmm, from the pores.
Yeah.
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 But, and so tents have changed throughout the years. There's all different types of tents. Now, dude... It's crazy. I'm sure you've seen this. But now they have these huge tunnel tents that go from car, the tailgates of your car, and there's a tunnel, it goes from the back end of your car, and you attach it to the back end of your car, you open the tailgate, you put it around your tailgate, and it goes through a tunnel, and there's this family living, and then spider webs out into different quarters of the tent for different families or different living quarters.
What is the purpose of this tent?
If you're traveling with friends, let's say you, your family, my family, the Posadas, the Bassetts, a bunch of our friends, McAuliffes, all get together and we go camping. Okay? But we want, one central location that we all can hang out together in. Inside, but yet we all want to, obviously sleep in different quarters. That's what this is for.
This just seems like a tent that's very specific, and it's you can use it for this one thing. You could just get a gathering tent and put it in the middle of your camp.
I'm just telling you that I saw it.
I'm not saying it's not cool. It sounds very cool.
It's probably ridiculously expensive too. But
I like the tents that climbers use. When they're climbing a rock. And it takes days to get up there.
Right.
You're on the side of a cliff.
A cliff.
Hey, you want to put the tent up?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's just more like a canopy.
Well, it's like a tent.
I'm not a hammock.
It
it's like a hammock.
No, they have some that are very tenty. It looks just like a tent. And they've got a floor you can stand on and,
I haven't seen those.
Yeah. They get crazy.
Well, the tents have definitely changed throughout the years, no doubt.
Yeah, they would have killed for nylon back in the day.
Oh, for sure.
Wouldn't you hate to have to move the tent right after it rained? This huge leather thing.
Yes.
This thing weighs 1,000 pounds.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but Dave, let's talk about the aspect of tents camping with your sons.
Okay. I'll let you start.
Okay. So, Dave, whenever we were young, and we were in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, some of the fondest memories that that you and I have, we've talked about it many of times, is getting to get outside with your dad and, you know, setting up the tent.
Yeah, make some memories.
You know, when we were younger, the dads really were in charge of building up the tent, right? What was it? Well, you mentioned it before.
Cub Scouts?
Weeblow?
Well, Weeblows is like the last class in Cub Scouts.
Okay.
Weeblows and Weeblows 2.
Okay. So
when I was in Cub Scouts, you know, you start off as a tiger cub, you go camping, dad has to set up the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to help because, you know, when you're that age, you want to help with stuff.
Definitely with the hammer and the stakes.
Yeah.
Like that was
give me that hammer.
Yeah.
And you
that's
go around,
what I was
like,
always excited
I'm gonna
about.
Hammer stuff that doesn't need to be hammered.
Right. Yeah. This pine cone, demolished. Yeah.
That tree looks like it's a little crooked.
Yeah.
Fix that right up. Anyway. Then by the time I got older, it was like a rite of passage for me when I knew how to set up the tent by myself.
Right.
You know, oh, yeah, I can do that, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you go camping as a cub, as a troop? I can't remember what Cub Scouts, if they're a troop or a pack.
Okay.
As, you know, as a pack. And so the younger boys, their dads are helping them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad, Dad, why don't you smoke a cigar or something? I don't
right.
think he ever smoked cigars on our camping trips with
no.
the Cub Scouts.
Why don't you get the fire going?
Right.
Or something.
I'll set up the tent.
Right.
You want a rain fly? I got it.
Right.
Because I know how to set up this tent.
Right.
Booyah.
Boom.
So, but it really was a rite of passage for me, I think. And camping, there's something unique about doing that, father-son, because I think if you take your son camping, they instinctively know, just like any young small animal knows that they're supposed to learn from their parent.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a little boy camping, he knows I'm going to learn from dad.
He's like a sponge.
Right.
You talk about the antidote of you know, breaking free of electronics, of like phones, tablets, computers, video games. Camping is the antidote.
Right. And dads, I know camping is hot.
Right.
Right. I get it.
Yeah.
It's 90 degrees, and you're about to get in a sleeping bag.
Right.
Because
in a tent.
And maybe it's a mummy bag, because you only have two sleeping bags, and you gave your kid the regular one, so you're going to get in the mummy bag, and it's 90 degrees. I get it.
Yeah. It's not fun.
Just do it.
It's not comfortable, at least.
I mean,
fun.
If you have to, go buy another sleeping bag in my weird scenario that I invented.
Right. But, yeah, as I've gotten older, I've realized how, and I'm not old, but how much more uncomfortable I am.
Keep telling yourself that.
I'm not old. I'm not old. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. That's. I'm not.
Yeah, I used to be able to sleep on rocks. What
yeah.
rocks?
Or
no
just
problem.
The ground. Just
yeah.
the ground in general. Like, you know.
Well, you put your tent somewhere, and inevitably, there's a rock exactly in the spot that you're going to be sleeping.
Right.
You know.
But
it's always
then, it's
huge.
Like, it's fine. I don't. I can work around
but
this.
But it's, you know, it's about. It really is about making memories with your son and your daughters too. You know, like, but. There's father-son time is, I think,
and now's the perfect different. Now's the perfect time because it's about to get cooler
it's
outside.
Cooling off.
You know, the fall is beautiful, at, you know, with the trees.
We're going camping soon. We just found that out today.
Yeah, we're supposed to be going camping soon.
Just a guy's camping trip.
That's going to be awesome.
Dude, I say we do it like no food. We got to like
Bear Grylls style.
Like maybe like find a squirrel to eat or something while we're out.
So, hey, we're celebrating life this episode, episode 20. When we get back, we'll talk more about that.
If you know a good squirrel recipe, send it to us.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back from that manly break, segueing into this manly show, known as the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. Dave, let me ask you, what do you call a priest who's sleepwalking?
I don't know.
You call him a Roman Catholic. He's Roman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Catholic.
Right. I get it.
Okay, good.
That was better than your other one.
Thank you. I was working really hard. I got criticized the last time for my poor jokes.
So I don't remember what the other one was, but it was not funny.
Pokemon.
Yeah, dude, that was not funny.
Originated from Jamaica, Pokemon.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Okay, like Cool Runnings.
Right, yeah.
Remember that shit? Remember
I do,
that
yeah.
Movie? That was a sweet movie.
You want to kiss my lucky egg, man?
Hey, here's also another like small like tidbit of information that I ran across Kay. That I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you know that St. Michael is the guardian angel of the most precious sacrament?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that specifically.
I didn't either. You know, we run St. Michael Catholic Radio here in Tulsa, the Catholic radio station here. And so I was just doing a little bit of research on St. Michael, and one of the tags
so he's the guardian of the Eucharist.
The guardian of the Eucharist.
Huh.
It's like, what a sweet guardian angel job. Like, if you were, like, he's an archangel, but if he was assigned as a guardian angel, what a sweet job. It's like, what do you have to prevent the Eucharist from doing? Nothing.
Yeah, but you still defend it.
You defend it. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to, like, you know, like, our guardian angels have to do a little bit more work than just defend it from attacks.
No doubt.
So, I thought that was pretty cool, though.
Totally cool.
Okay, but Dave, episode 20 of the Catholic Command Show, historic episode 20. We're just going to call it that.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're going with.
Sure.
Because it's the 20th one.
In three more, we'll be halfway through a year. Aren't there 56 weeks? 52 weeks.
52 weeks.
Next week is our semi-annual anniversary. What is it? Biannual?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's our half birthday.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like that. So for this one, we're going to celebrate life.
Okay.
Because we're all alive that's listening right now. Mm-hmm. Except for our guardian angels. They're listening. Well, I guess
they're alive.
Yeah, they're alive.
They're totally alive, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely alive.
They just don't have bodies.
Correct.
Missing out.
They're definitely missing out. Can I do like a shameless plug? Can I do that on the Catholic Man Show?
It'd cost you $1.
You ask Haley for that. Ask Haley for my...
I will require a dollar.
Okay, just talk to Haley.
The juice is running.
No. So, if you're in Tulsa, Go Life Mobile Medical is hosting their fundraiser coming up on the 24th of this, which is a Saturday of this month.
It's too bad I'm gonna be out of town for a wedding.
I know. But yours truly will be the MC.
Dude, I'm praying for you.
I need it. Because I was super nervous. Like, you know, this is my first time to MC something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was super nervous about accepting. One, I was like, well, how many other people have you called before you had to get down to me, you know? Like, who all have said no?
Yeah.
You know? And why have they said no? But I thought, you know what? I'm going to, like, if now's my turn time to break into the MC gigs.
Yeah.
This is something that I'm super passionate about.
Sure.
And so, one, it'll be easy because I'm passionate about it. But two, we're honoring Bishop Emeritus Slattery for all his pro-life leadership throughout the diocese.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, if Bishop Emeritus Slattery is going to be there, it's already going to be successful. So basically, all the pressure is taken off.
Yeah, but you know, like, you will have to still, like, do stuff. And...
Well, I mean, I just have to say maybe hi.
Yeah, but like...
And like, Go Life. But other
those are good. I think that's a great start. But you will actually have to say things.
Yeah, I'll probably have to... I'm working on that.
Like I said, I'm praying for you.
For our listeners, tell them what Go Life is. And St. Joan of Go Life.
St. Joan of Go Life, yeah. So it's Go Life Mobile Medical. They are an ecumenical organization. And it really ties in well with 40 Days for Life because they're both ecumenical. They get RVs and strip them down and load them up with ultrasound equipment. And so they will drive around offering free ultrasounds. And they do that as a pro-life missionary work because of the statistics that say it's roughly 70% of women who see an ultrasound, see their own ultrasound, if they can see the baby growing inside of them, 70% of them will, even if abortion-minded already, will choose life.
I mean, I would think it would be even higher than that.
Well, 70%, I think.
I mean, that's high,
that's
but...
Because these are abortion-minded
women. Yeah, that's true.
Women. You know,
that's
these
true.
Are women who are... So, if you can get 70% of someone to change their mind on something they've already decided, that's really good. So, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, it's great. It's great.
So, thing. They post up, like, if you're in Tulsa... Let's talk about the Garden of Hope.
Yeah, so here in the Tulsa Diocese, we have an abortion clinic. It's one of just a few in Oklahoma. But we, the Tulsa Diocese actually was able to purchase the land right across the street.
Brilliant move.
Yeah, when it came available, they jumped on
yeah,
it.
Props to the Diocese of Tulsa. I don't know who made that move, but whoever that was a stellar move.
Yeah, so they built the Garden of Hope. There's a cross and kind of a little monument there. And so that's where we host the 40 Days for Life every year so that we can hold that prayerful vigil right across from the abortion clinic. And, you know, you can look up the stats on abortion clinic patients. If someone is praying outside of that abortion clinic, the no-show rate skyrockets for the abortion clinic itself.
Isn't that interesting?
Like, if people – and I wonder if it's just as simple as – you're already so, you know, you feel the guilt. You know what, people know when they have an abortion that this is wrong. Mm-hmm. Even if they intellectually say it's, you know, it's okay and it's fine, they know it's wrong. And when they show up and there's someone praying outside, they just can't do it. And they keep
right.
driving.
Yeah.
You know, and so they just go home,
mm-hmm.
I guess. But the statistics bear this out, that if someone is praying, if there's a prayerful presence outside, the no-show rate goes way up. So... if you live near an abortion clinic and you have time, you should go do that. That's something that we do, and we've started a little group that meets every Thursdays at 11:30 right outside at the Garden of Hope, right outside the abortion clinic, and we just pray the rosary.
Mm-hmm. At 11:30 sharp. And Dave, you and I was thinking about this the other day. You and I have been doing that for over 4 years now.
Yeah. Is that how long?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember when we started.
Yeah, over 4 years now.
Cool.
And... now it's starting to pick up where I think there's, between 3 and 5 other people,
yeah,
three
six,
and six,
maybe,
other people,
which
you and
we
I.
We just picked up a couple new people the last couple weeks.
Right. And I think it's really, something nice, effective to do as Catholics. We're pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other, you're Catholic, you're pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be pro-death as a Catholic.
Yeah, no, if you're not pro-life and you're a Catholic, then...
seek a spiritual director.
I'm not really sure that you're Catholic.
Well, seek a spiritual director. Talk to your priest. I think that's the best advice that we can give.
Or just be pro-life.
Well, yes.
Sometimes I like the joke. I just kind of thought of this one day. It's like, be pro-life or I will kill you. Just like, those are your choices.
Very effective.
Yeah.
Very effective.
If you're not pro-life, I'll take yours.
So Tulsa's 40 Days for Life is September 28th. It starts mm-hmm. out.
We have a really good 40 Days for Life as far as the nation goes.
Mm-hmm. Starts at 6 p.m. on the 28th.
And if, for those of you who don't know, 40 Days for Life is a prayerful vigil that is held 24 hours a day for a consecutive 40 days. And the goal is to have someone, at least one person, praying at the vigil or the location for the entire 40 days. Now, depending on the size of your community, that might be harder than other communities, but that is the goal of 40 Days for Life, is to yes. have a constant presence.
So if you're here in Tulsa and you're thinking, I don't know where the Garden of Hope is, or I don't know how to get involved, you can go to stmichaelradio.com. There's a link that shows the Garden of Hope. You can go there and it gives you...
Oh, we got that up?
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah. He did so good, Dave.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. You're
slaved over it for hours.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You can go there, and it'll give you a map. It gives you directions of exactly where we go. It's basically 32nd and Sheridan, if you're familiar with Tulsa. But
yeah, behind the Bueno.
Behind the Bueno, yes. And it's right across the street from the abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
But... on the 28th at 6 p.m., they have a kickoff
right
to start it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun. It's always fun. Bishop Condola and Deacon Kevin Sartorius is going to be there this year.
Bishop Condola is a big supporter of 40 Days for Life because he's a brand new bishop for us, but he came from College Station, which is where the very first 40 Days for Life
started.
Was held. Yeah, so they started 40 Days for Life, and they don't have any abortion clinics there anymore.
Mm-mm.
That whole town is abortion free.
Right.
And it's primarily because of the 40 Days for Life campaign.
And you don't have to be Catholic to
do this.
No,
it is not. It's not a Catholic thing. It's
listen,
ecumenical.
If you're, I know we have a lot of evangelicals, and I know we have Christians that live that are listening to our show.
And just men. They're just,
right.
Other guys who are just men.
Right. And we also have, I know we have at least one atheist that listens to our show. And we need your help. We need your help to support life.
So when we get back from the break, let's talk about some of the statistics that are behind the movement.
Okay.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Welcome back to this is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Inhan and David Niles. We are the men, host of the show, but it wouldn't be the man show without you listening.
That's true. We're known in Brooklyn as the Catholic Man Show.
As opposed to what?
Well, no, I was just making a statement.
Oh.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah, there's a guy who is an Instagram follower of ours that is from Brooklyn. Catholic Boss.
Yeah.
Is his handle.
I just wasn't sure. So is he putting emphasis on the Catholic Man Show?
No.
He just calls us by what our name is.
Correct.
That's a bold choice.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, I'm just going to start picking different places and saying we're known in X as the Catholic Man Show.
In some places, they call me David.
Other places, what do they call you?
Other places, they call me David.
Or Dave.
Whoa. I wasn't ready to go there yet.
Okay.
Anyway.
I feel like that you, the listener, is intimate enough to where you can call him Dave. You don't have to call him David anymore.
I will allow it.
We're talking about life. Is what we're talking
about. We're talking about names, but we should be talking about life.
That's what we're going to be talking about moving forward.
But we're enjoying Glenmorangie 12-year, the La Santa, which is the...
La Santa.
Which is the one that's aged in sherry casks.
Do you think Zorro, drank
this
scotch?
The Spanish Oloroso.
I feel like Zorro drank this scotch.
I'd say it's a high probability.
Mm-hmm.
What other scotches do you think Zorro would drink?
That's about it.
You see, okay. So he was a La Santa exclusive.
Yep, that's what I think.
Don't you think he maybe drank tequila?
No.
What was he, Spanish?
No.
What was Zorro?
Let me tell you.
Is he Mexican?
What was Zorro? Spanish.
Spanish. Okay.
And let me tell you, I've been to a lot of different parts of Mexico.
Have you been to España?
I haven't. Have you?
No.
Yeah. So I can't say anything about the Spanish over there.
Okay.
Other than I know that they speak a different language than the people in Mexico.
I think language is too strong a term.
Lexio?
They speak a different dialect, maybe?
Yeah, dialect. Yeah. That's a better word.
Thank you.
So we're talking about life again.
But wait. You were going to say something about Zorro.
That's the drink that I thought.
I thought you had more to say.
No, that was it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I felt like that was really going to enrich our listener with the drink that we're talking about.
But I agree. For whatever reason, it does seem like a Zorro-esque beverage.
Mm-hmm. Especially the Mask of Zorro. Remember Antonio, what is his
Antonio
name?
Antonio Banderas.
Banderas.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I feel like that he would be the one that would be drinking this.
Totally.
His character. Anyway, we're digressing.
Did you know they have a new most interesting man in the world?
Who?
Some. It's like a younger guy.
Adam Minahan?
But I'm not kidding. They have a new one.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not impressed.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think the Dos Equis guys realized that the big beer drinkers were not as old.
I'm surprised they didn't ask us.
They just didn't offer me enough. They came to me.
You need to change the campaign to the most interesting men in the world.
The apostles?
Yeah, they would probably rank one.
I think they'd beat us by a little bit.
Or rank 1 through 12.
Yeah. Maybe 1 through 15. Thomas was kind of lame.
Poor Thomas, dude. He got he doubted for a second. And, that's what he's known for in eternity.
You ask one stupid question, and it's
you're never going to live that down. One of the dumb questions that you've ever asked in your life, that is what you're known for.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Bummer. I love you, St. Thomas.
Yeah, pray for us.
I'm a big fan of you.
Yeah, we learn from your mistake. Anyway,
we don't learn from your mistake.
No, I'm going to learn from his mistake so I don't make it and learn from my own.
Okay, fair
enough.
You
see what I'm saying? Yes. Okay, so 40 Days for Life.
Yeah, 40 Days for Life is coming up.
It's a big deal,
September
guys.
28th.
It's kind of a
Tulsa.
Big deal.
Yes. Dave, there's some huge statistics on the 40 Days for Life.
It's a tough one. Statistics.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know, but it's
I didn't
just
even
like,
stumble it.
I'm just saying that's a tough word.
Yes, especially on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going, you're fast, you're
right.
Moving.
You got to make it flow.
Yeah.
I want to read them. Let me read them.
I was setting you up for the segue of you reading them.
Dude, I want to read them.
Okay.
Okay. So, here are the statistics from 40 Days for Life. This is, like we said, it's ecumenical. So, some of these statistics are big. For instance, this just is counting through 2007. Because it's been before then. But they just weren't keeping stats because they didn't realize this was going to become a worldwide phenomenon. So, yeah, it is. It's all over the world, actually. There have been 700,000 volunteers involved. That's a lot of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
In 636 cities all over the world, which is 36 nations. So that totals up to be 4,168 campaigns, 40 Days for Life campaigns. Think about that. I don't know how many days that is. What, do you have a calculator?
Not on me.
Well, okay. Well, it's going to be 160,000? What's 40 times 4,000?
Oh, dude, no.
Times 4.
This is, that's 16.
Yeah, so add some zeros. I think it's 100, whatever it is.
Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot of days that they have been campaigning for life. And it really is ecumenical.
How many cities did you say?
636.
Okay. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, there are a little over 19,000 incorporated cities in the U.S.
Okay.
Just thought that you would like that.
Thank you.
Because you like numbers.
I do like numbers.
So I just thought you would appreciate that.
How many are there in the world?
I didn't ask that.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau.
I didn't ask.
Do you think they did?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Because they're U.S.
Yeah. So anyway, the pro-life movement is so crucial because it really brings together all of the Christian denominations, and not just the Christian denominations, but
non-Christian
ones.
Let me tell you, one of the biggest platforms that we have in common with Mormons, which, you know, we're not here to debate or talk about why Mormons aren't Christian. That doesn't make them bad people. I'm just saying that's...
They're terrible people.
No, they're not. a lot of them are very good people.
Just, yeah.
But just by definition, they're not Christian.
Right.
But one of the things that we have very much in common is the pro-life movement and marriage.
Yeah, there's even a lot of atheists who are pro-life. Christopher Hitchens. A very big name in the atheist community.
He was?
He was pro-life.
I did not realize he was pro-life.
Very, very much pro-life.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. So, but let me just, a quick comment on ecumenism. Because
Ecumenism?
I think it's ecumenism.
Ecumenism?
In that form.
Okay.
A lot of people get, you know, like, oh, good feelings about, you know, good, this is an ecumenical movement. Like, that is inherently valuable. But it's only valuable in as much as you use that opportunity to evangelize.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Great. It is good. We're bringing these, you know, coming together on a common ground, which should be an opportunity for us to say...
To unite each other with the truth.
In the full sense of the word.
Right.
To be united.
That's a great call.
So when we are coming together, we should be loving one another, making the Catholic faith attractive. I just want to throw that out there.
And so when you're participating in 40 Days for Life, because if you're a man, you should be participating in 40 Days for Life. Be
authentically
joyful.
Catholic.
Yeah, be joyful.
And don't be afraid to share why you're Catholic with some of the other non-Catholics.
Tell some of the Catholic men that are listening right now, Christian men even, when they should sign up for the 40 Days for Life.
I think they should be there at night.
Late at night.
Yeah, so the graveyard shift.
Yes.
Typically,
red eye.
Just, I mean, stuff like this, women have a higher participation rate. But that, you know, that's true across the parish life,
mm-hmm.
that there are more women participating than
right.
men.
Right, right, right.
I don't know if it's always been that way, but it shouldn't be that way. You
There's
know,
no way it was at the very beginning because
well,
there was
yeah.
12 apostles.
That's right. It was pretty...
And a Blessed Virgin Mary and Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, there were a few women, yeah. But...
Not 12.
Not that we know of. Yeah, not that we know of. So anyway, men, do not... I just really think that we need to step up and take the knight. Like, if you're a Knight of Columbus, mm-hmm. get your Knights of Columbus branch to brand themselves, you know, Knights of the Night, or, you know, come up with some pun that is marketable and catchy that will make other guys take mm-hmm. the graveyard shift. Just from a security standpoint, it's better to have men out there.
Yes.
And honestly, it's kind of our job. We should
be sacrificing.
We should take right. that sacrifice ourselves.
Right.
I
so
think.
So let's talk just
but I,
very
I,
quickly.
One more stat I've got to read about 40 Days for Life.
Okay, but let me feed it in.
Okay.
Let me segue
Set
it to
up.
You. So
tee it up.
Okay. So 40 Days for Life is about prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not just prayer, but fasting, which is like what we talked about before, like in our other episode with Hope, mm-hmm. like it's putting prayer into action.
Right.
Okay. So with the prayer and the fasting, which is an action, which I highly recommend, it yields what?
So, in those years, here's the number of lives that have been saved just during the 40 Days for Life campaign. 11,798. That is almost 12,000. Think about how many lives that is throughout the generations. I mean,
yeah.
It could be millions or billions of lives just from 40 Days for Life.
One in eternity makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
We finished some Glenmorangie, and we had the tent as the man gear.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.